So we wanted to take a little survey to see where you all are at with this matter of twos and threes. So I just want to take a little time to do just a little survey where we all close our eyes and where I'm just going to ask you, you know, if you've been joined. I'm just going to ask you a question. If you have a definite experience of praying at least once a week with the companion, I'm going to ask you to raise your hand. So how about everybody close your eyes? And I want you to raise your hand high because we want to get a good evaluation. Okay, so everyone who prays at least once a week with a companion, raise your hand high. Okay, everyone who prays twice a week, keep your hand up. Okay, everybody who in your companion, whether you pray once or twice a week, you're praying or you're trying to care for someone else, keep your hand up. Okay, put your hands down. Open your eyes. Okay, you guys actually are doing very well, and I wish we could have more of your testimonies of those of you who are shepherding some. I think it was at least I would say it was between a third and a half maybe, so that kept your hands up. So I think there's something stirring within all of you, and I think there's a burden within all of us, those who are endeavoring to keep endeavoring and to strengthen what's happening, and those who haven't yet established something solid. I think there's a strong feeling to go forward in this direction. Have you all been encouraged by this line?
Amen.
Amen. I've been very encouraged. So, you know, I just want to point something out to you that I think is very helpful. You know, if you were to try to navigate your way through this forest, if there was no trail, what would you need? Compass, maybe a flashlight or something, but a compass orients you, right? So you know where you are and where you're going, right? If you have a destination, you know, we have a destination in our Christian life. So we need some proper orientation. So the first direction that we need to be oriented towards is we need to be oriented towards the Lord Jesus, okay? We need to be loving the Lord. We need to be enjoying the Lord. We need to have a personal life and history with the Lord. Okay? So, and then, oh, I drew this a little bit too big. But okay. But then, we need to have some orientation for on the earth. What's the Lord's goal, right? It's the church. It's the building. It's the body. So I'd say this line on companionships, I'm not even going to call it the body because we want to make it practical. Is the companions make the body practical. So we have companions. So on the one hand, we're oriented towards the Lord. We're going towards the Lord. But on the other hand, we're realizing we have a direction to be built up with some specific ones. All kinds of ones, right? This came out a number of times in this line. We need to have some older ones. You need ones you serve with. You just get built up, right? So we have another orientation here, and that's to be towards being built up with companions. But what we're going to see, what we've been seeing on this whole line, is the more that we have these two directions, the more there's a third direction, right? So this line, as it progressed, first there was just a matter of getting started, right? Getting a burden, starting to seek. And then what do? You pray together. But more and more this line has turned, right? There's the matter of binding and loosing prayers. There's the matter of preaching the gospel. And now in this message, we come to this matter of shepherding and perfecting. So there's a third direction. And this direction is towards we'll just call it man. Towards others. It's an outward-facing direction, right? So we're towards the Lord. We're getting built up in companions. But this companionship more and more has a solid direction outward, right? It's in the Z-axis that's pointing out. Right? So, okay, so, sorry, if you didn't understand it, it's this way, and it's supposed to be three-dimensional. I think it should have gone this way, sorry. Anyways, so what we really want to see is that the more that we're built together, the more that we're going to spontaneously have this burden, this desire to care for other people. Amen. It would be absolutely abnormal to be built up to enjoy the Lord in a rich way and have no feeling for man, to have no feeling for the young people in your locality, to have no feeling for your friends. That is not normal. Something's wrong with these two directions if there's not this third direction. This third direction is just goes in hand with these other two directions. So this is our compass, our three-directional Christian compass. We should never forget our three directions in our Christian life. Okay, so now let's come to the outline. Let's read the title and Roman numeral 1. Shepherding and perfecting in twos or threes. Right, so you see the direction, right? Your twos and threes and the shepherding, perfecting. Okay, 1. In the twos or threes, we should care for others in the way of shepherding. Amen. Okay, A is to shepherd is to take all-inclusive, tender care of the flock. Shepherding refers to taking care of all the needs of the sheep. And so here we have this verse, Acts 20:28, which is kind of special to this training, because what's the book that we've been in this whole week? Ephesians. So Paul, he's on his way to Jerusalem, and he stops in a place in Miletus, and he's quite constrained. He's in a hurry. And so, but he calls for the elders of the church in Ephesus. And so he calls them together, and they have a time of fellowship, a very intimate time. And he'd spent a long time in Ephesus. Ephesus is one of the places that Paul had spent the most time in his journeys. He'd spent 2 or 3 years in Ephesus, at least 2, more like 3. And so in other places, he spent a few weeks, but in Ephesus, he spent a number of years. Okay, so that's one of the reasons why this book of Ephesians is so high, is because Paul had built up something so solid with the Ephesians. But so as he gathers this group of elders from this church, he commissions them, and he says, shepherd the church of God among you, whom the Holy Spirit has placed you as overseers. Okay, so his burden, this matter of the church, I don't think he'd written the book of Ephesians when they had that time together. He may have. I don't know the exact details. But maybe these things were on his heart as he was with these Ephesian elders. And what does he tell them? Shepherd. Shepherd the church of God. This precious, this masterpiece, it's in your hands, but it's for your shepherding. You need to shepherd. You need to, this is the church of God. It's God's church, but you are shepherd. You have been placed by the Holy Spirit to shepherd the church of God. And so one other point I just wanted to say about shepherding before we have our first testimony come up, so brothers can get the mics ready, is that, do you know what's going to end this age? What's going to bring the Lord back? It's something that the ministry calls the new revival. Have you all heard this term? The new revival. Okay, so the new revival, it means a sustained, revived living in the churches, where the brothers and sisters in the churches have a living where they're just revived. You know that, what do you start the morning with? Morning revival, right? And then you live your whole day revived. And when this happens corporately, the Lord is going to look at it and be, that's what I'm ready, that's what I want to come back to. So this new revival has 3 components, and they line up very well with the speaking from this whole training. The first component of this new revival is the highest vision, the high peak of the divine revelation. So what have you been getting in the evening lines? You've been getting the highest vision, okay? So this is the vision that should govern us. But then this vision needs a certain kind of living. And what's that living? It's called the God-man living. So what have you been seeing in the line with the Spirit? You've been seeing the way to live the God-man living by your human spirit. Okay, so you have these components, but the last component is the shepherding according to God. Okay, so shepherding is going to end this age. And of course, it has to be matched by the vision and the living. But without the shepherding, the Lord won't come back. So, okay, and everybody who's a believer has the capacity to shepherd. So, okay, so let's all say, I can shepherd. I can shepherd. Even how about say, I am a shepherd. Let's declare that. I am a shepherd. Right? So even the Lord, we don't have time to get into it, but in John 21, the Lord reinstated Peter's love, reminding him of this matter of shepherding. He told him, do you love me? Feed my lambs. Shepherd my sheep. And actually the whole book of John that we love so much, the book of John that shows that the Lord came to be our life. He's our life. We can eat him. We can drink him. We can enjoy him. What's the last chapter on? Shepherding. Without shepherding, life doesn't make any sense. Without John chapter 21 and the matter of shepherding, that life is just a theory. But when you enter into the shepherding, the life becomes so applicable. The life becomes so enjoyable. And then, and on one hand, you do enjoy life. You say, maybe I'm not shepherding, but I think I'm enjoying life. Don't get it. Don't worry about it. Don't analyze it too much. But shepherding intensifies our enjoyment of the life of the Lord. Shepherding puts a cap on the whole book of John. So let's have the first testimony. The Pullman brothers are going to come up. I'll read you B while they're coming up. It says, the word shepherd nearly equals the two words nourish and cherish. And then I'll read you one and two. To cherish people is to make them happy, to make them feel pleasant and comfortable. To nourish people is to feed them with the all-inclusive Christ in his full ministry. Okay, so the brothers will share with us about their testimony of cherishing and nourishing some freshman brothers.
Amen. So this past year at WSU, we met two freshman brothers before the semester at the orientation orientations, and their names are Josh and Joe. And both these brothers we found were particularly seeking, so we made it a point to try to reach out and cherish them and nourish them. And actually, they're so seeking that both of them decided to move in the brother's house next year.
So we really try to make it a point with these two and in general with the club to just be normal with one another. And so, you know, we can't be – anyway, we tried to do fun stuff with them. Like we would do a lot of Ultimate Frisbee and other stuff. And even after the meetings, we would offer them rides home. Hey, Josh, you want to ride home? Because the dorms can be, you know, kind of far away and you have to kind of walk through Greek Row, which is sketch. But anyway we would offer them. So we just tried to create an atmosphere in the club that was really a family atmosphere, and in which they could pursue the Lord in a real way with us. So Jim, I'll pick it up.
So, like David said, these two particular brothers were very seeking, and in our shepherding, we should focus on the ones who are actively responding and enjoying. Because we have our capacity. There's a physical capacity, and we can shepherd all of them. But when we see those who are enjoying, we got to shepherd them, because they will encourage you too. Amen. Don't think you're the only one who can nourish them, but also think through their enjoyment, your enjoyment will come. Amen. Not only your place to give them nourishment by the Lord, but the Lord gave those brothers to us to get a fresh enjoyment.
Amen.
So there's just this example. It was this orientation week, and we were going through our spirit, our organ, to contact God. And these brothers were so enjoying. That was really encouraging to me. I was enjoying something else at that time, but when I saw those brothers, thank you, Lord, for my spirit. Thank you for these brothers showing me the enjoyment, that my enjoyment has been refreshed.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
So praise the Lord for this method of shepherding.
Amen.
You want to say something about the situation they had in the dorms? They weren't so comfortable, but then they would.
I mean, each of their dorm roommates weren't very compatible with each other, so they just found the brother's house very cherished and like to have hangouts. So basically, their roommates were worse, or we were just better than their roommates. So what I'm trying to say is, whenever we are trying to make an event to hang out, we always call them because they were in our hearts. They were one of our burden to shepherd them. So just have that kind of heart, and they will see it, that they are part of this family, this group. Amen.
And we made it a point to have the brother's house open so that they could sleep over whenever they wanted to.
Who was praying with Jamie? Let me say something about that.
Oh, and then every week I would call an older brother in our locality. His name is Jamie, and we would just pray for them.
Amen.
After contacting the Lord together, just so that they would be strengthened and that they would be built into the church life with us so that we could pursue together.
Amen. Amen. So you see a lot of good things in this. So you know what cherishes people? You know what cherishes people is the humanity of Jesus. So if you live in a dorm, I doubt they're living with someone who has the humanity of Jesus, right? I don't know if you've ever been in a dorm, but they are the antithesis of the humanity of Jesus in general. So, So anyways, we need to enjoy the Lord. And when people spend time with someone who's enjoying the Lord, it's cherishing. The other students will be cherished just by being with you, by being with happy enjoyers of Jesus. They will be cherished because, you know, just like Charles mentioned, people are getting happy on other things, but they're not happy for very long. So it's so wonderful to be with some people who are enjoying the humanity of Jesus. It's cherishing. I've been cherished just to be with you all this week. You know, when I was giving some saints a ride back, a ride here from the airport, they were enjoying the Lord. I was cherished to the uttermost. It's a cherishing to be with people who love the Lord Jesus. So just being with one another, being with these ones, being with you, inviting them into your daily life is a real cherishing. But eventually there's nourishing. And I really appreciated what Jen shared. These ones were getting nourished by this point on the Spirit, and then it made it more enjoyable for him. So actually, when we contact people, our enjoyment of the Lord goes up. So these things, they help each other a lot. When you're taking care of others, your enjoyment of the Lord is just going higher and higher, and you're the building with one another sweeter and sweeter. Right? This is wonderful. You know, so even sometimes it's hard to take care of people. Sometimes it's a labor. Sometimes people really, all of a sudden, I think it came up somewhere, one of the testimonies, they didn't respond for months. But then that strengthened the building. There's the need for binding and loosing prayers. That's a real building component. It's a different degree of building when you have to pray binding and loosing prayers with your companion. If you've never had to pray binding and loosing prayers, there's an aspect of building that you have never touched. Right? The closest, one of the closest human companionships or camaraderie is those who have fought together. Those who have been banned, you know, there's that series, Band of Brothers. There's something, even Ron mentioned this in the ministry meeting recently, those who have fought together. The coordination in a fighting unit. So anyways, that's an element of building, to fight for ones that are not doing well, to fight for those ones who are the lost cases. That building is so intimate, so sweet. Okay, let's have, we're going to have Chris and Igor share next. And I'll just read, the best way to shepherd people is to give them a proper pattern. And saints, what I want you to notice is they're sharing a reproduced pattern, a pattern that's reproducible, that even a pattern that propagates itself. Okay? So, okay, go ahead, Chris.
And so, my companion and I, his name is Benny. He wasn't able to make it for this college training. But we sort of had in the beginning, we had a natural companionship together. It felt like, because we were the only two brothers in our age group, we automatically cling to each other. But as we, matured on and grew in life together, it started to realize that, you know, we started to create just a habit out of the blue. We didn't say it to each other, but we started to create a habit with each other to really open to each other, right? He skipped a grade his complicated situation, but, you know, in all these situations that we had, I was really able to, you know, just speak to the Lord speak to him about what I was going on with the Lord, right? I struggled a lot with the matter of shepherding by older ones and younger ones, and he was really the one, even though he's practically my age, I really felt burdened by what his shepherding spirit, and vice versa, you know. Benny, he's a very quiet person when it comes to his personal life, but, you know, I was able to, you know, shepherd him into his spirit in these past few months, past year or so. It's really been a building up together for each other. And so in this habit of us being built up with each other spontaneously, you know, Benny picked up a burden. He really enjoyed preaching the gospel. That was one thing that Benny's really loves to do, right? And so in his school, when he switched to a new school, he picked up a burden for one of his friends, you know, Igor, in his classroom. Just spontaneously, Benny didn't have to say anything, but it felt like, you know, this burden that Benny had just automatically passed on to me, right? And I just started to realize that, you know, now it's not just Igor that was Benny's friend, but he was also someone that was in my heart that I had a burden for as well. So we started to, you know, just pray together, fellowship together about Igor and about his going on. And so it was actually through our home meetings that I really feel like that was one of the most cherishing moments for me, that Igor was really able to respond with an open heart, right? In our home meetings, a brother Tom Getz, he came for one meeting and he really showed us how to have the proper home meeting. And it really felt like it was through our home meetings and through our vital groups that, you know, we can bring these ones into. So I encourage you all, you know, if you'd have a home meeting, that is one of the healthiest places that you can bring a new one into, you know, into a family setting to show that, you know, because sometimes in the big meetings, it's hard to bring them into the church, that bring them into what they enjoy. But in the home meeting, you know, it's such an intimate experience with the Lord, where it's just a few saints dedicated to touching the Lord.
So what happened was Benny came to me in grade 11, and he's like, hey, do you want to come to a home meeting? And I was like, nah, I don't really believe into any of that. And then a year later, again, he asked me the same question. He's like, do you want to come to a home meeting? But this time I was with a friend, and she's all adventurous, and she's like, yeah, yeah, let's go. And so so we pretty much, we went to the home meeting, and, you know, we just came for the food, but we started singing a little bit, and, you know, we read a little bit, and it just, I didn't really enjoy it as much. I'm like, I'm never coming back here again. This was horrible. It was the worst experience of my life. but then again, my friend, she, ironically, something touched her in that meeting, and she's like, yeah, let's go back. And so it was in the second home meeting that really kind of sparked something in me. And it was the verse from Matthew 17:20. It said, if you have a faith of a mustard seed, you can move a mountain. I'm like, if I could have a faith that small, I could really get into this, you know. And so I started meeting with them, you know, part-time. And and eventually it just... I started meeting with them part-time, and then...
I just thought I would add something. It was actually, you know, after that first home meeting, Benny, he called me after my home meeting, and he, you know, he was really discouraged, because it was Alicia, right?
Yeah.
Alicia was open to, you know, the meeting, but Igor, we had a heart for Igor, because, you know, he was a brother, and, or he was a guy, and it was easy, it was easy for us to talk to him, like, it was more of a normal thing for us to talk to him, and Benny was so discouraged, you know, this is, you know, Igor, he did not like the home meeting, it was really hard, but, you know, it just, I really enjoyed, you know, I had no answers for him, I didn't know what to say to him, but, you know, we just really enjoyed a really sweet time of fellowship and prayer, and it was through that, you know, we're like, okay, let's, you know, Alicia wants to come back, Igor doesn't, but let's focus on Igor and see if he can, you know, because I think Benny's sister was shepherding Alicia as well. So we really focused, you know, we prayed to the Lord earnestly, you know, these binding, loosing prayers, you know, because we felt like Igor, there was something in him that, you know, the Lord really wanted to open up. So we tried to,
Thanks, Chris. and then came college orientation. You know, I was in the car with Benny. And I asked him the question, like, why does everything good happen to you? Because he's just been accepted to engineering, and he was one of the last people to do so. And he's like, just calling the Lord's name. And he's like, and then all of a sudden, it was quiet. And then he was just like, let's call on the Lord's name. And so he started calling, oh, Lord Jesus. I'm like, oh, my goodness, no, no, no. And I was like, oh, Lord Jesus.
So, yeah.
And so it started off kind of quiet, and then I just got into it. I was like, oh, Lord Jesus.
Amen.
And
oh,
I just,
Lord Jesus. Amen.
Yeah. And then I just felt something, you know, something just happened in me. And so, and then again, he, at UFC, at University of Calgary, you know, we have a Bible studies group, obviously. And he signed me up for a call. Or for the Bible studies without even letting me know. And so it was just, I'm like, I don't want to be here, you know, I don't know any of them. And then I just started meeting up with, you know, some brothers, you know, and I just enjoyed it. And then a brother just came to me full time, you know, he serves at the University of Calgary full time. And he asked me, when are you going to get baptized? And I never thought about that, and I was like, I don't know. And so then came a perfect opportunity. You know, we had a gospel meeting, and the gospel meeting, if you don't know it, it's just pretty much you get to invite your friends over, and then you gather together, you sing. And so I just wanted to get baptized there, you know. I wanted to set an example.
Amen.
And after that, I felt great, you know. And I attended my first Lord's Day on that weekend.
Just a few highlights from this first part of their testimony is you see that it wasn't easy, right? It wasn't, this one was hard. It wasn't a good one. But look, he's here, right? He's here, hallelujah. Because why? Because these ones were companionized. Because they were getting built together. You don't think that was a strengthening to their companionship? They both were seeking the Lord. They both were getting built together, and they could fight together. They could pray some binding and loosing prayers, and they wouldn't let him go. All right, Chris. So Chris will share a little bit more about what's happening behind the scenes.
So behind the scenes, as Igor started to be part of the meetings a bit more. I don't know which full-time you're talking about, but one of the full-timers that really shepherded Benny and I, his name's Jonathan. He really started to, he also picked up the burden through our burdens of Igor, and he really started to, he didn't really maintain a physical relationship with Igor as much as so, more of a spiritual one, in which he would start to, get into ministry with us, to really give us practical lessons and practical, fellowship with us about how to bring Igor forward into the meetings, how for him to exercise spirit, that kind of a thing. And so it was through Brother Jonathan speaking and through his leading that, Benny and I, we were able to, have the confidence to speak to Igor about these certain topics. And one thing that Benny and I really earnestly prayed for was in Calgary, it took a while for all of us to get, to be honest, it took a while for all of us brothers to, get used to Igor being around there. And coming to the college training, one thing Benny and I, we prayed for, was really hard, was, that Igor wouldn't feel, uncomfortable mingling with all the other brothers. And, it was really by the Lord's mercy that, that Igor, when we first moved in, Igor was so sad that he wasn't actually with Peter Fair or any of the other brothers, but he was actually with some brothers from different localities. And I took it I thanked the Lord for this, right? That he was able to have the opportunity to really blend with all these other brothers from the other different localities.
Amen.
So throughout Benny and Igor, through their fellowship together, we maintained this constant prayer and fellowship with the Lord through our brother Jonathan and through his speaking to us.
We also had another brother, we wanted to get a new one, and so I invited Alex. He comes to the home meetings, and, I've been trying to kind of shepherd him along the way and just trying to get him into this church life.
Amen.
And it hasn't been easy, but, he'll get to the point where he'll receive the Lord.
Amen. Amen. So just real quick, so these ones, they were companionized, they got burned for one, and so now this one joins their companionship, and now he's burdened for once. You see, this is reproducible. This is normal. We get built together, the ones that eventually in this direction, they get this direction. And then they're burdened for this direction, right? So this is reproduce. We reproduce what we are. Amen. So, okay, brothers, thank you. Just silent.
Amen. Okay, so the second part of this message, the first part was on shepherding. The second part is on perfecting. But to say something real briefly, we need to know, and I think you've seen this week, that we have been given something very wonderful. Don't you appreciate your spirit?
Amen.
Don't you appreciate turning to your spirit?
Amen.
There's power that's being transmitted
Amen.
To us in our spirit.
Amen.
So when we touch our spirit, we touch heavenly power, heavenly dynamite.
Amen.
It's very powerful. Well, that's because there's as you've been touching your spirit, what you're touching is something that's been there from the moment that you believed in the Lord. That's because there's a divine life that gets imparted to us when we believe in Christ. And that divine life has a lot of capacities. It has a lot of ability. It has a lot of capacity. But the question is, like Glenn brought out today, will that capacity that we received be developed into an ability that we can function? So I have a new niece, and she's a few months old. But every time that I see her, she's learning something new. The newest thing she's doing is she's trying to crawl, which is hard because she's really chubby. And she's trying really hard, and all she can do is crawl backwards. So she can't go anywhere yet. She can only go backwards. But when we see that, we're so happy because there's a Because every time there's many capacities in her life, and she's starting to function a little bit. And the more that she functions, the more those capacities develop. And we know that eventually she'll learn how to talk, she'll learn how to sing, she'll learn how to walk, she'll learn how to do all kinds of things that people can do because there's a capacity in her human life. Well, you're exactly the same. So maybe you feel like you're going backwards. Maybe you're just learning how to crawl backwards. That's okay. There's a function, there's a capacity in your divine life that knows how to function. And as we develop it, it will grow. Okay, so here we have points on perfecting. Roman numeral 2 says we must coordinate in twos or threes to perfect those under our care. And A says to perfect means to make a person what?
Useful.
Okay, so to perfect means to make a person
useful.
Okay, this is very important. To perfect in the Bible, in this context, does not mean to make a person perfect, which is maybe the first thing you think because that's what the word looks like. But here, to perfect is to make a person useful. Actually, God will perfect us. He will make us perfect. That's by His divine life. But right now, what we're talking about is functioning as members of the body of Christ to be useful. Then the point one tells us that the Greek word for perfecting in Ephesians 4:16 means equipping, supplying the functions. So last night we saw that the gifted persons, the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherd teachers, what do? They don't just build the body of Christ directly, right? What they do is they perfect the saints, which is you, which is me. We're all the saints. They perfect the saints unto the work of the ministry, unto the building up of the body of Christ. So actually, the ones who need to build the church is you.
Amen.
And it's me. It's not just the gifted ones. It's not the ones with a lot of capacity. It's every member. Well, in order to do that, we need some help. We need some equipping. We need the function to be supplied. I think you realize that. If you're on your campus, you have a burden for something. We all have a burden for people to get saved. We have a burden for people that we know that are discouraged to be encouraged, to be revived. We have a burden that the Lord would have a testimony in our place where we are. But we realize, I'm not sure how this is exactly going to happen. Well, we need to be equipped. We need to be supplied with some function. Then 2 says that the saints, including the students, must be perfected to manifest their function. Through the manifested function of every saint, the church is built up.
Amen.
The building up of the church is the responsibility of all the saints.
Amen.
So this is very important. If you're somewhere with a serving one in your locality, the responsibility for the building up is not just with that serving one. It's your responsibility.
Amen.
If you're somewhere where there's no serving one, that's wonderful because actually you are the serving one.
Amen.
If you got the divine life, then you have the capacity to love the Lord, and you also have the capacity to serve the Lord.
Amen.
That comes in the divine life. Actually, every one of us is called to serve the Lord, no matter what else we're doing with with part of our time. We're all serving the Lord.
Amen.
Okay, so there's when it comes to this matter of functioning, there's two things that I really appreciated. One is, you know, I read something when I was in the full-time training in Anaheim that really surprised me. It was a word that describes the body of Christ that I had never heard applied to the body of Christ. And there was it was in a section talking about receiving this divine transmission, and it says, when we receive this divine transmission, then the body is real, it's genuine, it's living, and it's aggressive. And I had never thought about that. The body of Christ is aggressive? Actually, yes. The body of Christ needs to be aggressive. We should never have the thought that we're just sitting somewhere, occupying some space, waiting for someone else to do something. In our campus, maybe, hopefully, something will happen someday. In the city where we live, actually, the life inside us, as it grows, should have a proper aggressiveness. There should be something in us that is stirred up.
Amen.
If there's not a, if the Lord doesn't have the way, we need to pray. We need to have a feeling, I'm not just going to wait here. I'm not just going to let more time pass. I want the Lord to have a way to advance. I want the Lord to have a way to go forward. Well, there should be something that rises up in us. So on the one hand, we each need to be impressed that we need to function. And we can learn how to function. And we'll see even to help bring others into the function as well. Whatever we're doing, we can help others do what we do. So on the one hand, the body is very aggressive. But something else I appreciated is we need to function according to our measure. So this is the other side. On the one hand, the body of Christ is very aggressive, but we need to function according to our measure. So my niece, Hannah, she's learning how to move her arms. And she hasn't moved her arm. She doesn't know how to do it very well. So she just kind of, you know, waves her arm. And sometimes she'll hit herself in the head. And she doesn't know why did that happen. It's because she's just learning how to use it. Okay, so sometimes when we're just learning that we can function, well, we just need to do it. You just need to do that. You just need to function. You just need to call on the Lord as loud as you can. You know, you call on the Lord, you enjoy Him, you preach the gospel to everyone that you see. We should do this. We should learn how to function. But as we grow in life, hopefully Hannah wouldn't just keep waving her arms around forever, right? That's something that she's passing through as she's growing. So eventually, you know, when we first realize that we can function, we may be very excited. We may begin to really be stirred up. But there's a danger. So if I never use my arm for a long time, then that would be a very abnormal, sad thing, right? Yeah. But if I suddenly could use my arm, well, that's great. But if I just, my arm's really excited, and no matter what I'm doing, my arm decides it's just going to do whatever it wants. That's a huge problem for me. That makes my life very inconvenient. So the way that we function needs to fit into the body. That's functioning according to our measure. So there should be some balancing. We should be related to other members. We shouldn't just think, well, okay, I'm on fire for the Lord. I'm just going to serve. I'm going to do whatever I feel burdened to do. No, we need to be related to others. And that's why we really need to have twos and threes. As you fellowship with your companion, you can get balanced. You can get adjusted. And then you can be very aggressive, but it can be in the body, not anything just of yourself. Okay, then B. Why don't we read B all together? Okay, I just need to say something really briefly here. The work of the ministry is to build up the body of Christ. And we're fellowshipping about learning how to function, being perfected, and then also eventually perfecting others in twos and threes. But I also just want to tell you that the place, the way, and the channel that you can all be perfected, that I hope none of you would miss, is in the ministry. And when I say the ministry, I'm referring to specifically, you know, the ministry of Watchman Nee and Witness Lee. These are gifts in the body of Christ. Amen. And standing on the shoulders of others, they spent so many years with a desperation that Christ would have His way on the earth, that He would be experienced by the believers in an inward way, and that God would have His expression. They saw the eternal purpose of God, and they gave their whole life for this. They gave their life to see the body of Christ expressed in oneness in churches all over the earth. You know, every ministry has a result. It has an issue. So you have to ask, okay, if I'm going to take this ministry, what's the issue? Well, we can see the issue of this ministry. It's producing an expression of the church in oneness all over the earth. So don't miss getting into this ministry. There's a lot of perfecting in this ministry. You can read it. Ask your serving ones for a recommendation. You can listen to life study radio programs. They're all online. You can download them. You can listen to them. You'll get perfecting that will help you function in a way that will build up the body of Christ. Not to function aimlessly, not to function in a way that's not balanced, but it will help you function in a way that will build up the body of Christ. So for point C on how we function, I'm going to have Tanner come up here to share a little bit with us about how we can learn the truth, learn the faith, who is the Son of God, and learn to grow in life. Then we'll learn this. We can help others. So where's Tanner? Oh, there he is.
Amen. We must learn the truth. Amen. The truth is in the ministry, saints. The one truth that I really enjoy is the fact that I have a spirit. Amen. I have a spirit.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Amen. And this was not something that just came out of the thin air. This was through the reading of the ministry to know the truth, and it's through the shepherding of others. And being shepherded by ones is not a small thing, because being shepherded by ones issues in the shepherding of others. And there was a brother who really shepherded me to exercise my spirit and even to reveal to me that I have a spirit. And that was so crucial in that aspect of being able to build up the body. If I didn't know I have a spirit, I would not be here today. Neither would any of you sitting in this seat. If you did not exercise your spirit and that arm did not move, you would not be here today. It's so crucial to realize that we have a spirit and it needs to be exercised. And when something comes up in our daily life, we need the brothers and sisters to help build us up and shepherd us. And there was an example of this where I was shepherded by a brother just praying over and over and over again. And it's not praying in such a way of, okay, 2 minutes, we're done. It was an exercise to keep praying all the way from our meeting hall in Spokane all the way to Cheney, back and forth. And we exercised to pray the entire way for 30 minutes straight, just exercise, exercise, exercise. It was so enjoyable. We got built up together. And then this was awesome because this shepherding was able to issue in shepherding of a brother who was struggling. And when there was a brother who was struggling, we were in the car, and I really felt like we need to pray. He came to me and said, I'm really struggling right now. And I just started praying. I just said, pray with me. And as we were praying, he wasn't praying anything. And eventually got into the fact that he just started to repeat after what I was saying. And then I had there's also the shepherding that comes from the Lord. And I just was considering while I was praying, Lord, how do I turn this one to a spirit? And it dawned on me that the Lord was saying, stop praying. And so I stopped praying. And there was a silence for a little while. And the brother said, you quenched the spirit. And I could boldly say, no, I didn't. And it was that really touched him of like, wow, I need to pray. And that issued in the experience of life. And that issued because of the Lord's shepherding and what I was taught by the brother's shepherding that caused this brother to function. And he was then able to pray. And then we were able to pray together and get into each other's spirit. Hallelujah. And so this was the real building up and the real shepherding between me and this brother. Hallelujah. Amen.
I hope you caught the point. There was something that happened. It was based on an inner experience of the Lord. So never think that our perfecting is just to teach people some outward lessons. I learned the most efficient way to pass out flyers. Or I learned how to, you know, run a club very smoothly. We do need to do those things. But the real perfecting is related to our organic functioning. And that has everything to do with the Lord's life within us. So Tanner was listening. He was contacting the Lord. And then he was, based on that, he was able to help someone else contact the Lord. That will help us into a kind of functioning that will build up the body. Amen. So this last point is that D. Let's read D all together. The brothers from Vancouver come up. We'll keep this quick. Amen. We'll become a pattern.
Okay. So like we mentioned in the past, starting September of last year, some of the students in our locality, we started to restore our college meetings. And this was after the National College Training. And for me personally, It was a big deal because the college meetings in our localities have never been super supplying for me. They always sort of seem to be a religious thing that I go to just because I'm in that locality. But after the college training, I really had a burden before the Lord, saying, "Lord, if I'm going to go to these college meetings on Fridays, I want to enjoy you and I want to function." Okay, and then before we actually started, some of the students, we got together and started to coordinate about this matter. The thing is, however, we didn't have any brothers that were serving us. So then we asked some of the responsible ones in the locality, and they said, "If you don't have any brothers serving you, then you serve yourself." So then some of the brothers in that small group, we thought, well, if we're going to serve ourselves, then we need to learn to get into the Word. We need to learn how to conduct the meetings. We need to learn how to bear responsibility, right? So because of this, the Lord put within me a burden for this time on Friday night. And because of this, I had to come before the Lord every morning in prayer. I had to get into the morning revival. And I made a lot of mistakes because I heard what I spoke during the meetings, and I realized that some of the truth points were off or my timing wasn't very correct. But eventually, as we continued to go on, I started to realize that these meetings became so much more enjoyable. I started to realize that because I functioned, and not only that, because I functioned, but others were able to be able to brought into this function as well. There was a sweet flow of life among us. You know, if you ever got to see that picture, it was about 15 college students just sharing their portion of Christ with one another. We didn't really need to have a serving one to help facilitate everything, but rather it was just, I share something that I enjoy, and then this sister shares something, this brother shares something, and then eventually a sweet flow was just there. And then I really appreciate the points in D, because it was actually our experience during this past year, that as we learn and get ourselves perfected, we will become a pattern, and our pattern will be a perfecting to others. You know, I think the beginning of the school year, mainly it was myself and another brother, and Joseph, taking care of the introductions for the morning revival. And if there's a new one there, you can't just go into the tabernacle and about the experience of the furnitures, because they have no idea what that is, right? But as we're continuing on throughout the year, we start to learn how to cater our sharing to the new ones. Or if there are no new ones there, how to cater to experiences for all those that were there. And eventually, near the end of the school year, we had some other brothers who were able to join into the function and to also help give introductions to the morning revival. So I feel that, you know, throughout this past year, on the one hand, we're being perfected by the Lord, but on the other hand, we're mutually perfecting one another. Amen. And the result is so sweet.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Our brother shared most of what we experienced. And what I really enjoy is that this is something mutual. And even though we may not have a serving brother, but at the same time, we are being perfected to really enter into the real and practical enjoyment inside our own meeting. Because now that you don't have someone to keep leading you, you need to stand up and lead, right? And so I enjoy that we were all able to come together weekly to pray about this matter, to pray for the meeting, to pray for the students, and also to pray that, you know, Lord, during this week, we want to enjoy something of you, so that when it comes to the meeting, we're not just waiting on each other, but rather we would overflow our enjoyment of the week. And I enjoy that, you know, we need to be, when we're being perfected together, we see each other as patterns. Before, it was just Benji that was sort of doing the introductions. This is just a small aspect. No, I never thought that we needed to have an introduction in a meeting because we can just get right into it. But that was my really routine thinking. Because when you bring new ones in and you just dive right into it, just like how Benjo was sharing, how can they possibly understand anything of the tabernacle if they don't even know what the tabernacle is, right? And so it is really important that there is some sort of opening to this meeting. And so the brothers needed to be perfected on this. And to be perfected is not to be perfect, right? But rather, we need to be useful and to function. So I just really experienced, Lord, we need to be useful and functioning during the meeting. And it is in the meeting that we are functioning that it becomes a real enjoyment to us and also to the other saints.
Amen. So just to conclude, what kind of pattern should we be? Well, Paul in 1 Timothy charged Timothy to be a pattern to the believers in many different ways, in word, in conduct, faith, and love, and purity. But what I really appreciated in 2 Timothy is he charged Timothy to fan his spirit into flame. Fan it into flame. Didn't you enjoy fanning your spirit a little bit this week? Actually, this is very important because then in the next chapter, he charges him to commit to faithful men what he'd received from Paul. So if we're going to be someone who's a pattern, someone who passes on what we've received, we actually need to be people who are on fire. You need to be a person who is on fire. That's the kind of pattern that you should be. You're in your place to be on fire. So let's, then one says, after the responsible students serve for a few months, they should bring other students into bearing responsibilities. The students will eventually graduate, but while they are still in school, they should build up something on the campus. Then those whom they raise up will continue, and the Lord's work will not be terminated. So let's all stand up. Everybody stand up and read the last Roman numeral 3 all together.
Through our shepherding and perfecting in Jews or Greeks, we should expect that there will be a visible distinction.